Hello everyone, and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska, and I will be your host. This is UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of studies, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions. We will have guest speakers. Are you ready? Then let's go! Today's show topic is woman empowerment guidance from the founder of the Pink Garage, Randeep. Woman empowerment helps in boosting the status of women through literacy, education, training, and awareness creation. Furthermore, woman's empowerment refers to woman's ability to make strategic life. Today, I'm speaking to Randeep, founder of the Pink Garage. Randeep is an Indian woman who fully operates a car garage, and she's the CEO and founder of the Pink Garage. She's very passionate about developing services exclusively for women motorists, courses and opportunities for young girls and women to have the opportunity to work in the motor trade. She's very passionate about empowering women and her mission to help women motorists feel safe, understand car safety, get more women into motor trade, break down stereotypes in garages and workshops, get mechanic courses into prison as a rehabilitation program, and helps women grow in confidence, build a network of female mechanics. Randeep, welcome to the show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So I want to welcome you very much to another fantastic episode of my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. Thank you so much for accepting this invitation, being with us and sharing this unusual topic about about the Pink Garage, which is the woman empowerment guidance from the founder, which is you. Thank you so much.
Yes, so I'm the founder of the Pink Garage, and it's a really exciting project. It's a personal project of mine, which I'm very passionate about, I'm looking forward to creating awareness about it as far as it can possibly go.
Right. Am I saying your name right? Randeep, right?
Yeah.
Randeep, fantastic. So when I went to your website and I started to actually went through description of yours and the business, I was infatuated and intrigued. The Pink Garage, the female mechanics, and how you operating that, like, where the idea came from and why, what is behind this whole Pink Garage beautiful place?
Well, the Pink Garage stemmed from my family business, which I'm still very active in. So my main business, Courtwood Cars, is based in Uxbridge, and it's a family business that I've been working in from a very young age. And it wasn't actually an expectation for my parents to think that, you know, that I was going to continue on that side of work. But there was more, they wanted me to be more professional. And we'll go into that a little bit later. Mm. And so the expectation of an Asian woman is to, you know, be in more of a professional role rather than a male dominated role. But, you know, when you have a family business, you know, your parents want you to participate So you can learn life skills, social skills, and give you a head start. So on those grounds, that's why how I came into working in the garage. But my interest took me somewhere else. I was actually fascinated about the garage, the mechanics, and the parts. It just was a natural thing that I was got me interested. Mm-hmm. And also being that it was it is still our family business, it was a very, I was really proud of it. I was proud that my dad had this business, and I wanted to make it something special, something different. I didn't want to be a normal garage. And I mean, I'm talking about, I was like 17, 18 then. And I just said to my dad, there's so much we can do with this garage. Like, I don't want to be seen as a backstreet garage. I want more from this. And he just let me do what I wanted to do. But the expectation was that I got married and, you know, the family business isn't your priority. And that's exactly what happened. And then I got divorced because in my relationship, it was very obvious that it wasn't liked that I worked in a male-dominated environment, because I'm not I wasn't a girly girl. You know, I was a bit of a tomboy. I loved my jeans and trainers. And my partner at the time was like, well, it's really nice that you've got a business, but, you know, you don't look like you run a business with my appearance. And then with a mix of other problems, we broke up. And that's how Pink Garage came to life. And as well as that, it was also, I realised, obviously, having been in a difficult relationship, being vulnerable, not being able to make my own decisions, and working with a dad that's so open-minded and, you know, encouraging and empowering, you know, coming back to the Pink Garage and coming back to the family business and hearing women bring their cars to me and say, oh, I took my car to this garage and I spent all this money, but my car's making this noise. And I don't want to go back. And I'm like, why don't you want to go back? I mean, you've paid for something, right? You have the right to go back. And they were like, no, actually, I just didn't like the way they were. Mm-hmm. And so there was more than one, you know, that's just one example, but I realized how vulnerable women were. And now it's not just women, it's men as well. But I said to my dad, I remember coming out, it was in August, and I said, I need to do something for women and garages, because, you know, I hear so much that I got overcharged, or I'm too scared, I don't want to deal with this problem, can you help me? And it's nice that they came to me, because that gave me reassurance that they like me being there. And I just on the workshop floor amongst other mechanics that were there at the time, I said, how does the Pink Garage sound? And they all had a bit of a giggle, but they loved it. And I've had the support from anybody who's worked in the garage with me over the years, like the idea and respect the concept. And, you know, we've created morals and ethics in the business and how we do business to make it a lady-friendly place. And the purpose of Pink Garage was to empower women to understand their cars better, so that they can have better relationships with their garages that they already go to, and be confident with their cars. So that's how it all came about, and now it's actually turned into something much more purposeful, where it's not just about empowering women with their cars, but it's about encouraging women to come into the trade, because I've been in the trade more than 20 years and there's not many women do what I do. Even doesn't matter if they're South Asian or Western, having a woman that knows what she's talking about cars, and, you know, bridging the gap between the workshop and the client, is still very, very small numbers.
I 100% agree with you, because like I said, when I started to read about you and the place, I was like, yes, hell yes to this. And it sounds very different, very unique. And something that I fully agree with the little story that you just present to us. We are so intimidated by being in well, male-dominated world, which is the cars. And so then when female comes and she knows what she's talking about when it comes to cars, men tend to look at you like, what is she talking about? How does she know about it? No, I'm not going to listen to her because she's a female. She cannot know about it. But there you go.
Yeah.
So that's the sad part. But what is great is your passion, I think, and your ability to, even though the stereotypes are there and maybe you're not, fulfilling your parents' needs, you still go for your passion. So are cars really your passion? Is that something that you are very much, intrigued by, passionate, and you feel like that's what I wanted to do?
Yeah, I mean, I love learning about them. You know, I studied business and German because I was going to go into translating in the business world. And my mum's first language isn't English. So I was always interpreting for her. And that's where I get the skill of helping people understand about cars, because I've learned how to translate and interpret. And I can gauge very quickly when looking at people by their body language and, you know, their facial expressions that they understand or they don't understand. And even if their English isn't their first language, I'm still able to, help them. But cars has its own language, you know, so I didn't go into interpreting, you know, business projects in another language, but I'm interpreting cars. And being able to do that and learn how cars work and why these things happen, it just became just this drive that I need to tell people that, you know, they need to, you know, check their tire pressures regularly, because look how much money they're going to save, you know. And I think it was, as well as the outcome was to educate people and make them aware of how much money, how much stress, how much inconvenience they can save by just knowing the very simple things. It just became a natural interest that I need to know how this works, and I want to know how it works, because I love how these machines function, and how they allow us to, you know, make the most of our daily life. I mean, we're so autopilot with our cars that we don't realize, you know, it's, well, to some extent it's not really our business to know how they work. If you're just, you know, don't know anything about cars, you just want the car to take you to your, you know, drop off to your, for your kids, or go to work, or whatever leisure activity, you know, you have. And it's important that your car is well maintained. So that's why it became my passion, because it was just, this could make a big difference to people's lives if they know how cars work and how to maintain them. But generally speaking, you know, if there's anything new to learn, I'm all up for it, because it's all about delivering service, and the more you know, the more you can help. So where some people might use knowledge as power, as control, and take advantage of your vulnerability, I am actually using it in a completely different way, that knowledge is power, so I can give back more. My dad didn't actually want me to be hands-on, and I don't think it was anything to do with the fact that you're a girl and you shouldn't do it. It was kind of like, I just didn't, what my skill set was, I had more to give. And I think if I was a mechanic, full-time hands-on, I wouldn't be able to do the, I wouldn't be able to do the Pink Garage on this level. And actually, you know, my mindset would have been different as well, in terms of just being an introvert to in just fixing cars all the time. But yeah, no, I love learning about them. I find them so interesting how they have developed from the time wheels, you know, the first engine was invented, and how they are developing as technology is advancing. So it is a natural passion. And I also have the natural passion to share my knowledge and empower others.
It sounds fantastic to me. But tell me, throughout the years working with females, do you realize that there's like improvement in terms of the knowledge of the cars or even the awareness? And how is it to work with females?
Well, having been in the business for so many years, I'm still answering the same questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have people ring me up and they ask me questions that, you know, I was learning to answer when I first started. So in terms of car awareness, it's still very limited. Mm-hmm. So, and to get women, I haven't worked with very many women in the trade. Because there's not enough there, you know, they're very scarce. But the women that are working in the industry are actually very successful and very good mechanics. But they keep quiet and just crack on with what they're doing, and because they're passionate about what they're doing. So, but we need more women. Definitely need more women to be able to create that reputation that as garages we're diverse, and we are, you know, we respect gender equality, and that would make more motorists feel at ease. But the number of women coming in, it is changing, don't get me wrong. It's not completely, you know, the door's not completely closed on people's and women's at all, but they are open to encouraging women to come into the trade. But as an industry and a trade, they haven't actually managed to create that bridge. And so from where Pink Garage started off with empowering women to understand their cars better, it, like I said before, it's now Pink Garage has become the gateway. If you're interested in, you know, coming into the trade, you can come in, talk to me. Mm-hmm. And if there's something specific you want to do, you know, I can help you put it in the right direction. But in order to understand what the trade is all about, if it's a passion or an interest that you have, you know, Pink Garage is a platform where you can, you know, reach out to. Whereas the traditional ways, if you're at school, or you're not at school, you wouldn't expect, unless that, you know, it was a real burning desire, the average woman to say, oh well, I'm giving up my job as, you know, a HR consultant and now I want to be a mechanic. Do you see what I mean? So it's not something as an alternative career. It's not anywhere on the top 10 what you could possibly do.
Yeah, you really need to be, I guess, passionate about it and just have it in you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So speaking about the whole idea of the Pink Garage, I want you to elaborate on your mission a little bit more. What would you like to accomplish with the Pink Garage, and where do you see it goes in the future?
Oh, it's a really big vision. You're going to be ready for this. So my mission is to close the gender and diversity gap, mm-hmm. in the trade. I mean, in terms of the industry, you know, obviously there's motorsport, there's, you know, engineering, there's car, you know, you can work with manufacturers, but obviously my niche is in the trade itself, and the motor trade are garages, your independent garages, family run businesses, chain garages. But my vision is just to create a chain of pink quick fit garages, around the UK. So that are all female operated. You know, the workforce is, you know, are women. Women repairing your cars, women advising you about cars, and also being, you know, a platform where, as a woman, you know, you feel comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
As a driver. So to, and in order to create that vision, that that mission, sorry, the vision of having pink quick fit garages around the country, my mission in terms of closing the gender and diversity gap is to encourage as many women from different backgrounds and different circumstances to consider it as an alternative career, because what they need to recognize is it's not like how it used to be. So, you know, there are stereotypical, you know, views of what it's like being a mechanic. But anybody who I've trained, I'm training two ladies right now, and completely different backgrounds and different age groups, but they are so confident. They've become so not confident in as not as as well as their physical confidence, their mental confidence. And when people hear about, oh wow, you know, you've got women working in your garage, you know, they have no idea. Just learning the trade is adding so much value to back to the community. And that's what the industry lacks, is that they're not making women aware of the value they would have working in the trade to not only their business but to motorists on the road. So my mission is to close the gender diversity gap by reaching out to as many women out there as possible, to make them realize the value that they're going to give back to the community, and how empowering it is to just know. And the skills that you learn, the life skills that you learn in working in the trade are incredible. You learn real life in the nicest possible way. And also, as well as the trade being still very gender specific, it's not diverse at all in terms of ethnic origins and other communities. So my mission is to create awareness of this and attract more diverse, interesting workforce to change the reputation of the motor trade itself. Because, you know, as soon as people think of garages, they get scared, and they shouldn't have to be that way.
So let's talk about the stereotypes, because you just touched on it. How do you deal with being an Indian woman, Asian woman, coming into this so-called men's world and, you know, perhaps being judged or, yeah, stereotypes? How do you deal with it? You mentioned about your past relationship where you weren't really welcome with your skills and they weren't appreciated. How did you overcome that? And what's your, I would say, coping mechanism to it?
I think my coping mechanism has been my dad. You know, I continued the business because, really just to as a short-term thing until I get another job. But, you know, but I stayed in there because of my dad. And whenever there was an issue or problem, he was at the back of my mind. You know, he's my why. And I wanted to make him proud. I wanted him to see that she can cope. She's, you know, she can manage. She knows how to handle this situation. And I don't have a brother. I'm the eldest of four sisters.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And so I don't have anybody else to, you know, follow. And to some extent, I don't have that protection either, you know, because as in our culture, you know, men are seen as protection, right? You know, that If you've got a big brother, you're protected. If you're married, you're protected. So the only protection I had was my dad. But, you know, he's been phenomenal in a sense that he's been so open-minded, encouraging to, you know, give me the, he's been the reason that I've been able to face some of the hardship and, you know, being an Indian woman, because a lot of people don't take this job role seriously. They're like, what are you doing? You're just having a jolly in your garage. You know, when are you going to get a proper job? When are you going to settle down and, you know, have a 9-to-5 job that, you know, earns you a good salary, a definite salary? What are you doing just working with your dad? Like, people just didn't see it as didn't take me seriously in what I was doing. They just thought I was being lazy, you know, in and not actually looking for a job, or there was something wrong with me, that, you know, the fact that she's still working with her dad, there must be a problem, you know. Yeah. And with customers, they, you know, at a very young age, when I was very new into the business, they didn't want to talk to me. They wanted to talk to a mechanic. And I was like, well, no, you know, I need to stop this, because if they want to talk to the mechanic, that means the mechanic can't work on their car, and that's downtime. So I need to learn. But I overcame any customer confrontation by learning the job and standing my ground that, no, you've got to talk to me. You know, if you want to talk to me about your car, you want to talk about your car to somebody, you've got to talk. I was the gateway to the workshop. But, you know, more so, you know, for my main why, and also, you know, for what I stand for, that just because I'm a woman, I can give you the same advice, the same reassurance that you would expect if you were to talk to a male technician.
Being as confident as you are, I think, is the key in this industry you're facing, and being very stubborn in the approach of like, nope, you have to listen to me, you have to respect me the same way as I do respect you. It doesn't matter if I'm a female, male, it just has to be said, has to be done. Someone has to step forward, just like yourself, and, you know, place the boundaries in the right moment.
Yeah, and you have to own it. You have to really own the fact that this is my business, or our business, or whatever it is that you're doing right now, you know. And if you know that there are challenges, and most likely there are, in whatever professional trade you're in, but you have to believe in yourself that, no, I'm right. You know, you have to believe that and have that faith that I can do this, and I'm doing it. I'm not going to, you know, this is what I want to stand for. This is my, and it takes work. It does take a lot of learning. It does take a lot of time, you know, personal investment in yourself. That if you feel you lack confidence, the only way you're going to get confidence, if you take the time to learn more about your field of work. And knowledge is power. So if somebody comes to me and says, I want to know about this, or and I don't know the answer, I mean, I don't know the answer to every question about cars, mm-hmm. but if somebody brings a question to me, I want to know how to answer that question. And there are ways that you can, you know, put people off for a short period of time until you know that knowledge, you know how it works. And a lot of the time, I really imagined myself being the problem solver. You know, I imagine myself having conversations with customers that, you know, and customers give me feedback. You know, you need to do that, have those conversations with yourself in your mind, and that also helps you build your confidence and work on your subconscious mind. Habit shifting and developing your skill set is something I'm deeply passionate about, and I didn't realize that I was doing that until much later on in my coaching life, that I realized that actually I was doing that anyway, because I wanted to make my dad proud. I didn't want to be seen as vulnerable. I didn't want to be seen as I don't know the answer, because in my relationship with my ex-husband, that's how I was made to feel, that I don't have the answers and you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you think you can run a business, but you don't really know how to run a business. And that's one thing I said was when I left my husband was, I'm not going to be vulnerable, and I'm going to be self-sufficient. I'm not going to be a burden to anybody. And that's what I've achieved. But you have to know what you stand for, what you want, and you need to learn about what you're passionate about, spend time with it, be obsessed with it in order to get that confidence. But everybody has their why, their reason for why they do what they do. And but mine's always been through and through. If it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't be in this job. And there's loads of Asian garages out there that are run by Indian men, but very rarely would you see them empowering their wives, sisters, daughters to learn about cars and bridge that gap. And it's about being prepared to be uncomfortable, you know. But when you know your reason for why you do things, that you do it. You take that leap of faith and you face it. So, but that's taken a lot of work. Do you see what I mean? So it's not something that's just instantly happened. So when I reflect on how did I face this, how did I get confident? It's a combination of a lot of experiences and what I said to what self-talk I said to myself and who I'm doing it for and, you know, what is the outcome. And now more so ever, my confidence is thriving from seeing women blossom from coming into the trade, seeing women, you know, have fun learning about cars. So, you know, you have to look at what you want out of it and then work backwards.
Definitely. I mean, and a lot of like mental strength, I would say, that comes with it. I mean, it's fantastic that you had your dad being right behind you and supporting you, because I think that's the most important male support you can get, your father showing you that and supporting you that you can do it and you should be doing it. So I think that's a beautiful thing you've experienced. Now, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to relationship, did you find it difficult to perhaps stand your own ground and break the boundaries when it comes to having the business you have and then being in kind of stereotypical relationship? Did you find it difficult to overcome that emotionally, mentally, perhaps?
No, I think it was very difficult actually, because it was a combination of things. Number one, I'm the eldest daughter. So all my life, I've always been told by my mum that, you know, you're a role model. You know, you've got three sisters that are looking up to you. So whatever you do, your sisters are going to follow. So I had that programmed in my head. And being the eldest, I've always programmed to, you've got to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, all the time you've got to do the right thing. You know, you're Indian. So Indian girls don't do this. So, you know, and Indian girls are a responsibility. Indian girls carry, you know, family name. You know, when they're not married, you're representing your family. When you are married, you're representing your new family. So this, you know, that's a lot to carry, you know, in your mind, but we don't realize at the time because we go along with it. And then also, you know, I wanted to be a good wife. You know, I wanted to be a good daughter-in-law. And at that time, my awareness was all that. My awareness was that I was working in the family business, but I was just working in it. And I had intentions to move on from it. but it was a big part of my life that had a lot of influence. So when I was at work, I was this authority figure. But when I came home, it was almost like I lost the will to make my own decision. In even in simple things like, what shall I cook today? You know, right. Such a simple, you know, thing. But actually, you know, as I went, the longer I was in my relationship, I realized that, wow, I just can't decide. And whatever I was deciding on was being criticized. And whatever answer I gave was always wrong, or it wasn't, you know. And so I was completely made to feel that I just didn't have my own mind. So, and it was difficult because, you know, making that decision, when I realized that, okay, this is not cool, we're not making progress, it took me at least 18 months to 2 years to break away from it, because I was stretched between my expectation of who I was as an Indian woman, but also living in the Western world, where, you know, of having that mindset of everyone should be happy, you know. And then my sisters were engaged. My two younger sisters were engaged at the time. So it was like, no, I can't leave them, because if I leave them, based on what, you know, my parent, my mum, you know, said to me, was like, if I leave, you know, it could be that their future relationships could be jeopardized because of my action. So these were the things that were keeping me in that relationship, even though it was making me so unhappy. But equally, I wanted to make the relationship work. So there was, it wasn't as easy as, right, okay, I've had enough of this, and having that male strong mental attitude that I was used to during the day, I couldn't implement that at home. So eventually it just got to the stage where I think I was just pushed a bit too much, and I just said to myself, enough is enough. That I can't continue to maintain a relationship with somebody who just doesn't value me. And my mum actually said, she triggered this, because in our culture, it's not seen as, to some extent, it's frowned upon that as a woman, you're still working in your family business because you're not separated from them.
Right.
And they expect you to move on from your biological family, because your husband's family is now your new chapter in your life. That's your new life. That's the family you represent. That's the family you're giving to. Well, that's what it was at the time. And she said to me, look, if they're really unhappy with you working with your dad and you being in the family business, then just leave it. Just leave. Leave it and be happy with him. And I was like, wow, you know, I love coming to work. And actually, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't mentally survive. Do you see what I mean? So because I loved what I did, that was my escape from the, you know, the night before. And when she said that, I thought, no, that's not right. That actually goes against what I believe in now, that why should I give up my happiness for somebody who I just can't make happy, whatever I do. Do you see what I mean? And I felt compelled to ask him that question and say, look, if I do this, would it make you happier? And he said, no. So I said, okay, well then, if that's the case, I'm off. Because, you know, you should never give up anything if it makes you really happy. And that is a coping mechanism in your daily struggles or challenges you face in your life.
I'm very, very, very glad and pleased to hear that you've chosen yourself and what you love, your passion, and you've listened to your gut and the inner voice that told you that wasn't correct to, you know, please someone else on your own sense. So that is a beautiful message to send out there for everyone who is listening. There is a female, male, that, you know, we always have to think about ourselves first, because we have to be a little bit selfish when it comes to our own happiness, as we are in charge and we are responsible for our own action and our own happiness, no one else but us. And then to leave it and please someone else is just not going to work for the long term, because we're going to be resentful and unhappy at the end. So it's very good that you've decided to fight for yourself and for your dreams, what you want, and you stuck with it. Well, thank you so much. I think that is a beautiful ending to the story that you presented. And I think it's very empowering for any woman who likes to be in any type of male-dominated environment. It doesn't have to be just mechanic. Like, for example, I'm a boxer, so it's obviously male-dominated.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other sectors that are male dominated, but for whoever is listening, and even in all the way around, if you're a man and you're in the female dominated world, same thing, it goes all the way around too. It's very important to just really listen to your own desires, needs, and your voice, and stick to it and follow it and love it.
Yeah, and it's very important time. It's very important to take the time to think about what really drives you, what really makes you happy, and are the people that you are in relationship with respect that and are encouraging it and empowering you to do that. And this is what it was. This was the tipping point for me. Was actually, you know, just for cultural expectation, I have to give up my happiness, you know, in terms of what I love to do. And this is what I say to everybody, is anybody who comes to work with me, you have to love your job. I can't emphasize it enough, because if you're not happy in it, most of our life, 90% of the time, we're working. Mm-hmm. And you have to find what you love to do, and you will find a way to, if you're not in a space that you don't like at the minute, you know, you have to take that action. You have to have that positive self-talk to coach yourself or work with somebody, whether it's them holding you accountable, whether they're coaching you, you know, to make the conscious effort to, you know, work towards your happiness. And things just happen to, you know, allow you to get there. But for me, it was like, no, I'm not going to, you know, I know mum, I know dad, you've got four girls, and it means a lot for you to see all four of us in happy relationships, but actually they're not happy, you know. And so I'm living a lie, and that goes against who I am. I don't want to live a lie. I want to live, you know, I want to live in a honest life, not only with myself, but with what I'm delivering to anyone that comes in my way. So it's really important. But, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't have to be in a man's world, a male's dominated trade. I think whatever work you're doing, this can be implemented in any aspect of your life.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for taking your time and sharing with us your life story. All the best.
Thank you.
The Pink Garage. I think it's fantastic that you're doing this. So don't stop, don't give up, and just keep growing.
Yes, I will do. And thank you so much for your kind words and your time for today.
No problem. Thank you so much. You have
thank
a
you. Thank bye you. Bye bye. Bye bye.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Women's empowerment can be defined to promoting women's sense of self-worth, their ability to determine their own choices, and their right to influence social change for themselves and others. it is closely aligned with female empowerment, a fundamental human right that's also key to achieving a more peaceful world. Here are some characteristics of an empowered woman. Sense of self-confidence. Presence. She's well-presented, approachable and personable. She holds her own. She doesn't roll over when others don't agree with her. She's emotionally intelligent. She's able to make choices by being informed and self-resilient. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Also, follow me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message, DM me with any concerns. If you're interested in any sports sessions, PT, coaching, dance sessions, let me know. Visit my website, www.nataliakotowska.com, and get in touch. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for listening. I will see you next time.